You get to teach them life skills. You get to teach them so much more. Then when they get a little bit older, 7, 8, 9, 10, about an hour a day, you'll want to focus really hard, maybe sit down, right? Again, it's not an hour straight. You want to make sure you break it up according to your child's learning styles, according to your child's needs. Hello, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to my podcast, Renew Motherhood. And this episode is What Makes Your Child a Genius? For this, I have got an incredible guest here. I'd like to welcome Christina Hawk-Albrecht. So please briefly introduce yourself. Who are you? Where are you from? And yes, how did you come to this topic?
Thank you so much for having me on the show, and I am so blessed to be here with you today. My name is Christina Hay-Averett, and I live in the United States in the state of Oregon. So we are in the northwest part of the United States, and right now we are in wintertime. It is rainy, it's cloudy, it's cold, but that's not what we're here to talk about today. We are here to talk about education and all the different things that we can do to help our children. And the way I got into that was that I was a public school teacher for 27 years. And after 27 years of being in the public school, I realized that a higher calling or something that I really wanted to do more was to actually help parents make sure that their children were getting a great fit education. And what I mean by that is that there are so many times that we do what we think is best for our kids by sending them to a public school or a private school. And then when they're there, it's just not quite a right fit. Maybe the teachers don't quite mesh and talk together the right way with our kids. Maybe they're teaching something that we don't quite agree with that we want to make sure that we either counter or change the information that our children are getting. Sometimes it's the other school children. You know, they don't get along. They get bullied or something. Or maybe it's a learning disability. Maybe it's something that your child can't change, but they need special help with to become the best person that they can be and be the most educated. And so when I realized all of this was going on and that I wasn't able to do that in the public school any longer, I left public education and started my own company, Vibrant Family Education. And that's what I'm helping with parents in the United States now, is choosing and finding that great fit education that will really help their children shine and have a bright future.
Oh, wow. I love this. And it's a beautiful topic. I think that we just go into, because it's about our children and it's about us. It's about placing us or being conscious of what we want as parents. Yeah. And I think this is just crucial. And if I just look at our school system here in Germany, mm-hmm. it is really, it's one fits all, everyone, the same time, the same learning stuff, and it doesn't help everyone. So what do you think is the biggest flaw in the one-size-fits-all education model, and why does it persist?
Yeah. Well, part of it persists because of the size and the timing that has to happen, right? So if you think about it, in the classroom, you have basically one teacher and anywhere from 20 to 32 children. In the United States, we get as high as 32 kids in a classroom. And I'm talking the lower grades, second grade here, age 8. We can have up to 32 children in one room with one teacher. And the teacher is supposed to try to teach to all of those children, right? Why does the one size fit all doesn't meet our needs? Because we know that there's different learning styles. And that's one of the things I love talking about. If you understand learning styles, you're thinking about those people who are visual learners. They learn mostly through reading or watching things with their eyes. If we're talking about the auditory learner, we're talking about those children who learn most by listening and then discussing what they are learning about. Then we have those kiddos that we call the kinesthetic, which are the action kids, right? The kids who have to be building with blocks or taking things apart and putting things together, or maybe even walking around the room while they're reading to be able to get that learning in their head to stick, right? And so when we're in our classroom, teachers with 32 kids can't let every single learning style happen at the same time because it would be too distracting for all the other kids, right? And even though there are wonderful teachers who work really, really hard at adding in different kinds of learning styles into the lesson. So like when I was in the classroom, I would be speaking about the content. I would have the student take notes or draw pictures about the content. And then every once in a while, we would stand up and jump around and try to do an action. I would do my best, but I still couldn't do it all the time. So the one size fits all mostly doesn't work because we have special learning needs from our students, different learning styles, and too many kids in a classroom.
Yes, absolutely. Well, yes, depends on the school here. My kids are in a school where we also have about 30 kids in a classroom, but they divide it into two groups for special subjects. So, but anyway, have you experienced a difference between the learning between boys and girls? Do they learn different?
Yes, they do. They absolutely do. And part of that, a lot of people, you know, think, no, they should be able to learn the same. Well, part of it is those learning styles that I just went through, right? But part of it is also regular body physical needs and things, right? Girls tend to be, not all, but girls tend to be a little bit quieter and a little bit able to sit still a little bit more. And boys just tend to be those who need activity, need to get their energy out before they can do their learning. Matter of fact, one of the families I've talked to recently, they were trying to get their son to learn, and they're like, we can't do it. He won't sit down long enough to do it. So they would have him go outside, run around the cul-de-sac. It's kind of an end street. I don't know if you have cul-de-sacs that you're in Germany, but it's an end place where there's no cars coming. It's a big circle. Yeah. So they go and they run around that cul-de-sac a whole bunch, and then the boy would come in and sit down and try to do a little bit of learning. And if mom was like, no, you're still not quite ready. Go run some more. Go play some more. So they would send him out and he'd run some more. And then he would finally have his energy out to be able to sit down. Well, again, if we're thinking about a private school or a public school, they don't have time or the resources to be able to let those kiddos go out there and run and do that. So even though in America we have a recess time, it's only about 10 minutes. It's not really enough for a boy who needs activity to go get all of that energy out, right? So there's things in place to help, but it doesn't always help.
Yeah. So would you say you could, well, I know of some concepts in our alternative school where my kids are, they use techniques like row jumping and counting, or row jumping and calculating and something like this. So combining the activity with the knowledge or with the teachings. Have you experiences around this too?
Oh, absolutely. You know, whenever I work with my parents and they're saying, I don't understand how to get this concept into my child's head. He's just not getting it, or she's just not getting it. It's one of those things they say, try to do it in a unique way. For example, one of the things that one of my parents realized is that their child is very musical. And so they were having trouble with reading. They were having trouble getting the sounds and the letters and combining. But when we started looking up videos and songs with the letter sounds and with rhyming the words and things like that and put it to music, suddenly it worked better for the child, right? And this was a medically fragile child that I was working with at the time. And so she had like medical things. She had a, she had surgery around her throat, so she couldn't speak very well. Plus, she was very sick a lot of times. She had like a feeding tube, so she was very medically fragile. And so learning was hard because her body was fighting so many other things. But when I started doing this and helping the parents do this to music, all of a sudden she was having fun again, and she was starting to understand the letters, the sounds, and combining the words and things like that. So yes, jumping rope and counting, or talking about something as you're putting the pieces together, all of those combinations are awesome, especially if you have a child who learns a little bit differently.
Yeah, so beautiful. I love the story about this girl or boy, I don't know. Girl, probably, you said. So what would you say? Can you share a story where a child thrived because their parents stepped away from traditional education norms? So you just mentioned this one. Would you say there is another one that you like to share?
There is actually, it's a family I'm working with right now. So I know that our schooling, our education systems are different between Germany and America. But in America, we get the choice to homeschool, where we take our children completely out of the public education and away from the teachers, and the parents are their main.
I love it.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the first things that people might say is, oh, no, wait a minute. I'm not qualified to teach my own children. And that is the first big myth that I love talking about around this whole topic, is that you are qualified. You are your child's first best teacher because you do it from the time you bring them home from the hospital or the first time you bring them into their home, your home if you adopt them, right? So even if you don't have the choice of homeschooling, you still have education choice. You can still do things with your children. But then back to the story. Sorry about that. I went off on a little tangent there. So yes, actually one of the families I'm working with right now, the child is actually on the autism spectrum. And so he has a really difficult time speaking. He doesn't communicate the same way as other children. And again, he's very driven. He's very active. He doesn't like sitting still for very long, right? But yet he still is learning. Except as a teacher, if I were to evaluate him as a teacher, I wouldn't know everything that he knows in his head because he doesn't communicate fully. He has limited speech because of his autism. So this mom and I talked and she said, you know, I don't think I want to put him in a public school because then he will be frustrated because he can't get his needs met, right? Because he's not speaking completely. They won't understand him the way I understand him. And then there's also these other influences of other children who might be acting out that he might think, oh, maybe that's what I should be doing too, right? Or because he gets so frustrated, he might act out. So instead, she decided to homeschool. And it has been wonderful. His needs are being met. He's learning. He's growing. He's starting to actually talk more. And the best part about it is that the parent is able to, instead of spend time taking him back and forth to school, can now take him to specialized therapies and tutoring as well. So she's homeschooling, but then she's bringing in the other speech therapy, occupational therapy, tutoring with a specialized reading tutor to help him grow even more. And that is a great fit education for him at this point.
Yes. Wow. I love this. This is so beautiful to really to say, okay, we can fill here the special needs and we can just give him everything that he really needs to. And not only what, yes, the one fits all program for someone who just needs something different here. That's so, so wonderful. So if schools didn't exist as we know them, how do you think children would learn best in today's world?
You know, that is a really, really interesting question because I'm grateful for our schools and I'm grateful for all those teachers who love those children who work with them so very, very much. I was one of those teachers. I love my kids every single year and I didn't want them to leave my classroom. But there was always those times when I knew that I wasn't the best teacher for them. I did my best, but it just didn't work, right? So basically what I would say is think about how did our children learn about 100 years ago? This thing we call school hasn't been around that long, right? And we learned in different ways. Those children still learned. They were still very fulfilling in their life, right? When they didn't have this thing called public school. So basically, I would say if we didn't have school today, your children would still most likely be okay because parents can be empowered and they do know what their children need. So they would do exactly what happened basically during the pandemic, during COVID, when they said the schools aren't available, right? And we're going to try to teach online. It didn't work for a lot of people. So what did the parents do? They got ingenious. They either went to online specialized classes that worked well for their kids. They used YouTube and other videos that helped teach their kids. Or they pulled out regular old books, right? And sat in with their children and read and read and read. And taught them about family values, hard work, and the interests of the children. It will work and it can work. And I think our children would still be fine. Now, are there some kids who really school is a good fit for? Yes. So I'm not saying we totally abolish the schools, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm saying parents, do what's best for you and your children, right? Do what you can. I know there's some rules and laws. I don't want to get you in trouble, but you know, do what you can. Work with the schools, be involved if nothing else, right? So make sure that, you know, there are so many different ways to learn. Look into
it. Yes. Yeah, that's great. Yes, I love this too, really to say, okay, different ways to learn and just support how you can support and don't give your responsibility just completely away to the school and say, okay, I have nothing to do with it. My kids are going there. I don't care. They are still your kids, right?
Exactly.
So you are connected and you should at least know what's going on, right?
Exactly. And one of the biggest things that I love talking about around that subject is that, especially in the United States, we want parents involved. But like you said, lots of times we're like, I'm not the teacher. I don't have the credentials. I couldn't teach my own children, right? So they do. We kind of hand off our education. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, things aren't going right. My children are being exposed to or learning about things that maybe I don't necessarily agree with, right? So then you have to bring them home. And you have to educate them anyway. It's like, you know, you heard this at school, but in our family, we believe this, and this is why, right? And I really want you to think carefully about that information that you're getting from the outside sources, right? Those kinds of things. And then also beside that is that if you're involved in the school, in America, we have certain tests and things. Parents can opt out. They can say, no, I don't want my child to do that test or that curriculum. So they can actually opt out. And I'm not sure if there's something like where you are, but you can ask those questions. It's like, you know, this isn't a good fit for me and my family, but you're doing a great job educating my child otherwise. So can we just, you know, do something different for this one part? But then also, if you're able to be in the school helping, volunteering, then you have a pulse. You know, you understand what's happening in the school, what the feel is, what the flow is. And it really helps your child understand that you're invested in their education as well. Because if they think that you're handing the education off to somebody else, then they're like, mom and dad don't really care, so I can do whatever, right? But if you're there, if you're checking in, you're talking with the teachers, you're talking with your child about school when you get home, you're really involved, then they know you understand and care that you want the best for them.
Yes, that's exactly what I can experience with our alternative school here where my kids are going. So the more the parents are involved there and decide with the teachers together and take little projects for the school, do something together with the kids. And we have got something like the school garden. So yes. I know that because I was in the school garden, I'd always put some children out and say, okay, come with me together. We will do this here. And this is. So it makes such a difference for the kids. They feel you are integrated in the school and you're a part of it. So it's like a little team there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's
from the inner being just. Yeah. And they will have more fun if they see, okay, parents care about this and love to do it. If you say, okay, it's my job, I have to, I think this won't work.
Exactly.
If you can, yes, if you can go with it and follow it, yeah, I think this makes a difference. So what's one thing parents should ask themselves before committing their child to a specific educational path?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Wow.
Because they have to decide, right?
Yes and no. In America, they can sometimes, well, in America, we have the choices of private school, public school, and homeschool. So they can choose, right, between those models. They don't necessarily have a choice of the public school that they're going to. So even if you're kind of looking and you want to take on the responsibility of transporting your child to another school and going through the paperwork to get them transferred. So let's start there. If you're going to go to a public school, but not the regular public school that is just down the street, right? You want to choose. Then two things I really want you to do is make sure that you go tour the school, check it out, see the feel, the vibe of the school, right? And then also talk to the parents at the school. Because believe it or not, we have something called PTA, Parent Teacher Association. And those parents are at the school a lot. So if you go and talk to those parents, they'll tell you which teachers are awesome, which teachers are kind of avoid.
Depending on what.
The administration handles upset or chaos in the school kind of thing. So make sure you're checking in with those kinds of things when you're choosing. And in America, lots of times when we're choosing our houses, that's one of the questions we ask our real estate agent, the people who help us buy houses, is that what is a good school in our area? So lots of parents will think about that when they move, when they change houses in America. Yeah, right. So then if you were going to go to a private school, basically the same thing, you know,
How will the administration handle things that might go wrong or are challenging? What are the teachers like? What do the parents think of the school? Those are super huge. Now, if we get to the last one, to homeschool, if you have that choice and that option, you really need to ask yourself, am I willing to be the empowered teacher, the empowered parent, right? Am I willing to do my own self-develop, my own learning so that I can help my children learn the best? And then also not give up on yourself. Make sure you tell yourself, I can do this, even though we might have some ups and downs, some bumps in the road, right? I can do this. And because I am my child's first teacher, I know what's best for them. I know when they sleep well. I know when they learn well. I know their learning style. I know so much more about them than the teacher can learn in one short year that I can really make a difference. Now, it might not look like school, and I hope it doesn't, because homeschool is not supposed to be school in the class, in the home. It's totally different. So yeah, all of those kinds of things. So long answer, sorry, to the question.
No problem. I love this. So yes, to get into more details, that was just one question coming up.
Forgot it.
Okay, so here we go.
I have the same thing, if you don't mind. One of the things I love talking about with my families and things and the people on my podcast that I share with is that whenever you have a child that does go to a different school, right, public school or a private school, one thing you want to make sure you do is communicate. We've touched on it briefly, like, right, be involved with the school. But more than that, I want you to make sure that you're communicating with your child's teacher or the person that's around your child the most. And the reason I say that is because sometimes we forget that we want to keep our family challenges inside the family, right? Maybe we're fighting a lot with our spouse. Maybe grandma or grandpa is really sick, so we're at the hospital back and forth and things like that. And sometimes we forget that our children are impacted by that, right? And so they go to school, and then all of a sudden, a really good learner might start shouting out in class or acting up or not learning and listening, right? And because the parent hasn't communicated that with that teacher, now not only are they having academic problems, but they're having behavior problems, and the teacher doesn't know about how to support what's going on. So one thing I really encourage is please communicate. Share with that person that's around your child when you're not there and let them know. Not so that they can be a helicopter and hover over, but instead they can step in with support when it's needed. So that child starts acting up. The teacher quietly goes over and says, hey, do you need a break? I know there's a few things going on at home right now, and do you need a minute to pull yourself together? That doesn't relieve them of responsibility of learning. That doesn't relieve them of responsibility of doing their assignments, but it gives them a minute to collect themselves and then come back.
Right.
So they don't be in trouble for behavior, right?
Yes, so, that's awesome.
Please communicate with those people who are around you when you're not there.
Sounds fantastic. I really love this. Yes, and I come back to another question that's about time. Yes. So if you're if you choose homeschooling, I think, or I can imagine that a lot of parents say, yes, I would love to, but where do I get the time?
Yes.
Most of them are working.
Yep. You hit myth number two. I don't have time to do. That is myth number two. And part of it is in the United States. They push it a lot. They're like, oh, you won't have time because school takes 6-7 hours a day. No, it doesn't. It takes 6 or 7 hours a day if you're in a classroom with 32 kids and you have PE and you have music and you have lunch and you have recess and all those things that spread out the learning time. That's when it takes 6 or 7 hours. If you're homeschooling, if you're talking our youngest children, our 5, 6, 7 year olds, right? You can do most of their academics, if they have to sit down and really learn, in about a half an hour a day, 30 minutes a day. And then you're going to say, oh, what do I do with them for the rest of the day? Well, the rest of the day, you get to play. You get to live your life. You get to teach them how to clean up around the house. You get to teach them life skills. You get to teach them so much more. Then when they get a little bit older, 7, 8, 9, 10,
about an hour a day. You'll want to focus really hard, maybe sit down, right? Again, it's not an hour straight. You want to make sure you break it up according to your child's learning styles, according to your child's needs. But about an hour a day, hour and a half a day, you can get those really strong academics in place. And then again, you live your life. You let them study their interests. You help them learn about life. You take them to community engagements, all those kinds of things. And then when they get older, high school age, it's about 2.5 hours of real hard academics during the day. And then the rest of the day, again, they're either doing a job, they're following their interests, they're looking at jobs that they want to do, entrepreneurship. In America at that age, we start being able to go to college part-time and do what's called dual enrollment. So time is not really an issue, because if you're working and the homeschool, because it's flexible, it's around those other pieces of your life, it can absolutely work when you are the empowered parent and you want to make it work.
Wow. Wow. I love this.
I think
I should move.
I love this, really. This is so...
Yeah. I just I can understand. And I think I just got some feedback from my eldest one who left school now. And she said, Mom, I felt it's a waste of time there, because she really told me they could have taught me within 10 minutes. And we're discussing and doing things here that are not necessary. It's directly from her. And I thought, oh, wow, is she a genius or what is going on? But she just said, no, please. It's just, if you just can see the facts that we have to learn,
right?
And then what's around this, it pulls my energy. And I just don't feel good after coming home from school. Because I left all my energy there. And I think that's bad. But that's what she gave me as a feedback. So I can totally relate what you are saying. Take not the whole day, just 2 or 3 hours a day. And it's enough to get all the information inside of her or him. That's great. Yes, you just proved it now.
Yep. And you know, it sounds simple when I explain it like that. And of course, we know there's going to be good days and bad days, ups and downs, just like in a regular school. But if you really think about it, whenever you can meet your child's needs, when they are drained, you can take a break. When you know you have to push through really hard and get something done, you know that there's a family activity on the other side. Your children are willing to push through and do that, right? Because there's that communication, that family, that strength now, built around the education. And that's my hope for families, is that whatever they do, that they work together and become a cohesive, strong family. They communicate, they work hard together, and they really make sure that they're taking all the family's needs into consideration.
Yes. How can parents recognize when their child's current educational environment isn't working for them?
I love that question.
So I had this feedback after she left.
Right. Exactly. But yeah.
It would be good to check.
Yeah. So even though she gave you that feedback afterwards, she was able to get through it, right? Yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't a horrible, bad fit for her, but maybe not a great fit, right? But one thing I would really like to say is listen to your gut. Those mama instincts, right? We're talking mostly moms here, but even the dads, you get those instincts, you get those gut feelings. It's like, there's just something off. There's something wrong, right? That's where you start. It's like you always, whenever you get those kinds of feelings, check into it. Talk to your child. Ask the teacher what's going on in the classroom, those kinds of things, right? Then there's the bigger things, right? Maybe you have a child who doesn't want to get out of bed in the morning. Or they're always like, yeah, I don't really want to go to school today. Or I feel sick today. I don't want to go, you know, kind of thing, right? The huge red flag. Or other changes of big behavior. Maybe they're a very outgoing, friendly child, and then all of a sudden they're very quiet and withdrawn. It's like, is there something going on at school? Is there something going on in our family that we need to check in about, right? So, I mean, a lot of these red flags are flags for other things like health issues and things like that. But you really need to, like, work down and figure out what is it? Is it school? Is it health? Is it a relationship, right? One other thing I really want to say is that whenever your child starts changing their behavior at school, again, they're the quiet kiddo. They're always listening and learning and doing a great job. And then all of a sudden they're shouting out and getting in trouble. Something's going on. Or the opposite. Your child is the one that is usually like noisy and everything. And then all of a sudden they get super quiet and they try to like kind of like hide in the back of the classroom. There's probably something going on. Follow those instincts and any big changes in behavior. Make sure you check it out.
Yes, that's great, actually, because I think a lot of parents or some teachers as well are just looking at the signs and acting on the signs, how the child behaves, but don't look behind it.
Yes.
So I think this is crucial to not say, okay, here is someone going out loud and I have to stop this person to be loud.
Yes.
And not look, okay, why? Why is he or she acting this way now?
Absolutely.
And do you have an advice for those parents and teachers, actually?
You know, we're only human. We can only do what we can do, right? And we miss things once in a while. So first of all, don't beat yourself up, right? If you're doing something, it's not working out quite right. Don't feel super guilty. Don't like get down on yourself too much, because we're only human. We're doing the best we can. But if you notice something and don't do something, then yes, you're not in the right place, right? The best thing is to really, that communication is, if you are a teacher and you're noticing a change in your student's behavior, please, please, please call those parents or email those parents. Most usually they want to help their child, right? So you need to contact them and communicate and say, hey, is there something happening? And when I gave my example earlier about, you know, like the parents fighting or grandma and grandpa being sick, those are sad things. Even super happy things like vacation, getting a new puppy, having a new brother or sister, even the happy things can change emotions and behavior in the classroom, right? So tell the teacher about those things too sometimes, right? Don't let them think what's going on with this kiddo, right? But after you talk with the parent, after you talk with the child, I'm talking for the teacher right now, talk with the parent, talk with the child, see if there's a small adjustment that can be made to make things go easier, like maybe a 5-minute break or something, right? Again, don't take all the expectations away, because they do still need to learn and they still need to be there, but see if you can support them to meet those expectations. And then as the parent, again, what can you do for your child? I don't want to go to school. It's not a good fit for me. Then maybe start looking for a good fit education, a private school or a different learning situation, right? And if you can't make that change right away, then go in and talk to that teacher and talk with the teacher and say, hey, can we adjust this one thing so it's easier for my child? Can we adjust this one thing so it's easier for my child? And if they say no, because there's 32 kids, again, you can't beat up the teacher too bad, because they are trying to deal with 32 kids, right? But what can you do after school to maybe help that thing that's causing problems in the school? Maybe they need more activity after school. Maybe they need more quiet time with you after school. Maybe they need a tutor to help them catch up so they don't feel behind. So there's things that you can do.
Yeah, thank you. This is great. What would you say to critics who claim alternative educational paths like homeschooling or unschooling are too risky?
Well,
I think a lot of parents always are, anxious about, my kids don't get the right knowledge, the right things. And everything stepping from those systems means something like, oops, it's dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. And that's myth number, that goes with myth number one, that you can't be your child's teacher, right? So what I say to you about that is, yes, it might be a little bit risky, but if you're even thinking about taking that step, then you're already a step ahead of everybody else, and you're not going to fail your child. You want what's best for your child, which is why you're even considering this, right? So you're going to do what's necessary. You're going to improve yourself if you need to. You're going to find a coach or a mentor if you need to. You're going to find a co-op or other parents to help support you if you need to. You're going to do what is necessary. And so it's not really risky on that end, that perspective. And let's take it to the scientific research.
There is research in the United States that says that colleges are now looking for, they want the homeschool kids to enroll in their college and their university. Why? Mm-hmm. Because they don't only know the information, but they also love to learn. They become learners and they don't want to stop learning, right? A lot of times we get in this space where if a child just goes to school, when I get done with school, then I can stop learning. I don't have to learn anymore. They don't get that love of learning inside, and you never stop learning. You start a new job, you have to do more learning. You have a new dog, you have to do more learning. You have a baby, you have to do more learning, right? So you never really stop.
Absolutely.
Right?
No, that's life, right?
Right, that's life.
That's how life goes. It's nature.
The next thing is that those colleges want these kiddos because they have life skills. They know how to do their laundry. They know how to cook. Yeah. They know how to take care of themselves. They aren't relying on somebody else, right? So if you're asking, is it risky to educate at home? No, because not only are they going to get the academics they need, you're going to help them be a full person ready to meet life with life skills ready also.
Oh, yes, that's beautiful. To integrate life skills. Wow.
Yes.
Not only the knowledge, but also how to handle your life. So do you believe that children should have a say in deciding their own education? If so, at what age and to what extent? Because I think this is interesting. How could you involve your children? And if so, how?
You know, that is a really great question. Nobody's ever asked me that. But thinking about all the different parents that I've talked to and all the different podcasts that I've been on that we've talked about different things, the children are involved. When they're little, it's mostly because of observation. You're looking at how they're learning, what they're learning, what they're interested in. And that really lets them give you a voice into how they're learning and where they go to school, right? And also those behaviors, I don't want to go to school, I don't like school, those words that come out of your child's mouth. So in that way, they influence, but of course, they don't really help make the decision. When they get old enough to really understand the situation, so I'm probably thinking probably 10 or so, you know, then if they really say, no, I don't want to go to school, I want to do something different. And you can have that conversation about how it's going to look different, how it's going to be different, then they can have some good influence. And then high school, definitely. I mean, they understand so much more and they understand their own bodies and how they're learning and what makes sense to them so much more that they should definitely be part of the conversation. Matter of fact, that's step number two when parents work with me about pulling their children out of public school and bringing them home to homeschool. Is like, you need to sit down and have a family discussion. How will this look different? What will the expectations or rules be around it? How will our family dynamics change? And you need to make sure you have everybody on board. Because if you don't have somebody on board, if they're like, no, I really don't want to do that, it's going to be hard, right? But then as a parent, you're still in charge. So yes, they get to make their voices known. They get to share their opinions. And hopefully as a good parent, you're taking that all in. But you as a parent really do have to make the final decision, at least for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, so great. Yes. So what do you offer, Christina? You just mentioned, okay, if you just talk to those parents and you ask them the question. So what's your offer?
I want parents to make sure that their child has a great fit education. And for those families who are ready to step into homeschooling, I offer helping you get started. So I have an 8-week program that we go through all the different steps. We look at the legal, we look at the curriculum, we look at the family dynamics, we look at everything that helps the family get set up and get started. And then after those 8 weeks, of course, I offer continued coaching and support for those families who want more support along the way. So you're not doing it alone. A lot of our American families, they're like, I really want to do this, but I understand those three things that the school system keeps telling me. I can't be the best teacher. It's going to take too much time and my kids are going to be weird. No, they're not. Let me help you make sure that doesn't happen. So that's what I offer. Vibrant Family Education is here to help families, support them in making those great choices and support them through that homeschool journey.
So now please talk, where can people find you and get in contact with you?
Thank you
because
so much.
I just listen. I think, okay, let's go.
Thank you. I appreciate you letting me share all of this. Yes. If you come to vibrantfamilyeducation.com, my website, vibrantfamilyeducation.com, you can find out more about me. Right there on the front page is my free gift. It's an ebook of 10 simple steps of how to educate at home, right there to help you get started. And then, of course, my calendar link and stuff is all right there so you can talk to me and ask me questions.
Great. Wonderful. Thank you so much. I really appreciate our conversation. It was so, it's a pleasure to talk about this topic. I think it's so, it gives our children and the parents actually a direction to go.
Yes.
To make a decision and to make something different. And that's what my podcast is about, to inspire really parents, mothers to think differently and to feel what's good for them. And this one size fits all, I think this is a myth. Let's leave this behind and let's figure out what's your way. So thank you very much for being here, my guest, Christina. I just love it. So thank you for being my guest.
Thank you for having me.
And to all the listeners, please subscribe and stay tuned.